As followers of Jesus, like every other area of our lives, we do not mature or grow in isolation. Off the top of my own head, I can think of a handful of people whose lives as followers of Jesus impacted my own. But beyond the influence of others, the times when I have grown and matured the most have been when I've faced challenges and difficulty. In those times, when I have been stretched, I have also grown. And I'm sure it's the same for you. Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly message from Gamia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at GBC, and I trust that you'll hear the invitation of the Holy Spirit to join in God's work in your life and in God's world in this message. This week, we continue a sermon series entitled Refresh, in which we are seeking a renewal and refreshment of our commitment to the core commitments of our vision and purpose as a community of faith. In this message, Associate Pastor Mark Coleman gets us thinking about the impact of our lives on those around us and the importance of taking a stretching step.
So the reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat, and their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Hello. Hey, there you are. Would you join with me in prayer as I begin? Father, I thank you that you are here with us and that this morning is not just another process, something for us to tick off and get done, but this is a place of transformation. And Father, I pray this morning that we would be people who are open to being transformed by you. Father, I pray that you'd shape our hearts and minds to be sensitive to what you're saying, and respond to that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, A Christmas Carol is a story about a mean-spirited and miserly man called Ebenezer Scrooge. And Ebenezer Scrooge doesn't care about people, he doesn't care about the poor, and he hates Christmas. And one Christmas, he is met by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And he is shown his life, and perhaps more significantly, his death. And when Ebenezer Scrooge wakes up on Christmas morning, he is a changed man. He buys a massive turkey for all of his staff, and he goes and enjoys Christmas with his nephew, who he would never normally have hung out with. He is full of generosity and joy. Ebenezer Scrooge has had his life transformed. And we're hungry for stories of transformation, stories of changed lives. But it's better when that story is real, when we've heard it firsthand. Last week, I was at a Christian conference where the founders of Thank You were interviewed. Thank You is a social enterprise where they commit to 100% of their profits from the sale of water and personal care products to go towards ending global poverty. And these, the founders of Thank You, were inspirational people. And it was amazing hearing their story of where God had changed their lives. He had changed their selfish desires and made them into desires to see the world changed and people cared for. It was inspirational, amazing, transformative, and I kind of hated them because I thought, I can't ever be like that. Or maybe worse, that I'd missed my opportunity to do something as significant as that. And I think we feel like that when we haven't seen that process of transformation happen. When we haven't seen the struggle and all we've got is this snapshot of this perfect, shiny product at the end of it. A celebrity can tell you to use this or that wonderful life-changing practice or habit or product, but unless a friend tells you, "I've used it and it really works," we are not likely to take it up. At 18, I worked in a large newsagent back in the UK, and I worked there with a girl called Anna, who wasn't a Christian. And during that time in my life, I was also going through working out my call to Christian ministry, what God was doing in me in terms of inviting me into future church leadership, what that looked like. And week in, week out, I would have conversations with Anna in the staff room over lunch about what God was doing and where I felt God was calling me. And 5 years later, after I'd lost contact with Anna, I got an email from her saying that a friend of hers had taken her along to church and she'd become a Christian at university. And very generously, she said to me that, in part, hearing the work of God in my life and the way that he had inspired my commitment had helped her to make that decision to follow Jesus. And here's the point. If you see change in someone, if you experience firsthand the transformation of a life right in front of you, you are more likely to believe that change and in turn be changed by it yourself. Because transforming lives transform lives. When we see and experience change in the lives of those around us, often those who are close to us, then we are more likely to be changed by that. And it's a life of transformation that we begin to read about here in this passage that we've had read for us this morning. Because Jesus is inviting Peter, Andrew, James, and John to come and follow him, to come and follow Jesus. Literally, to walk behind Jesus and to do what he does, to learn life from him. And imagine the scene. Even if these guys had some idea of who Jesus was, they'd heard some of his preaching and teaching by the Sea of Galilee earlier, this was still a pretty significant moment in their lives where this dude that they may or may not have known about comes and invites them to leave behind their life, their job, and their family and follow him. It's a transformational moment. And although this is undeniably a pretty significant moment in the lives of these young men, it's only the start of an ongoing process of transformation, or maybe a significant moment in that ongoing process of transformation that we see mapped out in the rest of Matthew's gospel. Let's take Peter's life as an example. Now, after this now infamous come follow me moment, Peter enters into a significant process of transformation. His mother-in-law gets miraculously healed in chapter 8. Transformational. In chapter 10, we see Jesus gives him the authority to drive out demons and heal the sick. Pretty transformational. By chapter 14, Peter has been involved in the miraculous feeding of 5,000 people and walked on water, transformational. And only by chapter 16 has he somehow got to the point of discovering that maybe his new boss is the Son of God. Transformational. And that's really significant in this story. It's really significant in here. Because often we can think that we have got to have it all together before God can use us. And often we use that as an excuse for why we can't be used by him. Yet Jesus had Peter healing the sick, driving out demons, raising the dead before he even knew who Jesus was fully. And his transformation was transforming other lives. It was working as an invitation to come and follow Jesus. You see, we don't need to have it all together before we come and follow. We just have to receive that invitation and go with it. You see, Jesus' primary focus is our ongoing transformation, because it's that transformation that people close to us see and are in turn changed by. God knows what he's doing because he knows that a life authentically lived out in context with other people, and that transformation being observable by those around them, is going to change the way that people live. He knows it so much that it was his plan for the disciples, it's his plan for you and for me, and it is his plan for the renewal and the restoration of the entire world. We don't know what happened to James and John's father Zebedee after this particular moment in the story. I feel a bit sorry for him, because he's there with his kids doing what they do, and all of a sudden this guy appears and he is left to deal with the family business all on his own. I guess I'm hauling in these fish myself. But Salome, we do find out more about, and Salome is the mother of James and John. And she was found at the cross when Jesus was crucified. And it is very likely that observing the transformation in the life of her sons inspired her commitment to choose to follow Jesus and her own transformation. See, our commitment to following Jesus is a commitment to a continual, ongoing process of transformation. And our transformation becomes an invitation to other people into life. This is how we are wrapped up in God's grand plan to renew and restore the world. And if you are in any doubt, this is what evangelism is. Because a life transformed by Jesus in close proximity to other lives is the best invitation to follow Jesus there is. But my life doesn't always reflect this transforming work of Jesus. If you have been a follower of Jesus for some time, you might resonate with this. I am not, even by my own assessment, as closely following Jesus as I have at perhaps other times in my life. And if you have followed Jesus for a while, you will know that this process of transformation does not look like this. It's not a linear process where you just continually get more and more like Jesus. There are blips along the way. And Peter's life had blips along the way as well. On the night before Jesus' death, the disciples met in the cenacle, or the upper room, of a wealthy homeowner. And there they engaged in the Last Supper, itself a moment of significant transformation in the lives of the disciples, in a place of deep significance. Some would say a place of transformation. And there Peter declared with everything that he could that he would never disown Jesus. But you know the story. That evening, three times, Peter denies any association with him, with Jesus, his Messiah, his Lord, and fear gets the better of him. And in some ways, Peter steps out of the place of transformation. He steps out of the upper room and back into his old life, literally. Although we have to go to John's gospel to find this out, chronologically, the next thing we hear about Peter is in John 21. And despite Jesus having come and reappeared after his resurrection to Peter and the other disciples, Peter is drawn back into his old life, thinking he's failed. In John 21, verse 3, he says, "I'm going out to fish." And many of the other disciples go with him. Have we stepped back into our old life? Have we stepped out of the place of transformation? Have we stepped out of the upper room? Have we moved away from Jesus? At the very end of John's gospel, after Jesus has reappeared to Peter and the disciples and involved him in this miraculous catch of fish, Jesus recommissions Peter to take care of his sheep, to take care of those who would seek to follow Jesus and have their lives transformed by him. And Peter steps back into the place of transformation. He refreshes his commitment to this life following Jesus. Shortly before we hear the events recorded in the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter and he has his life radically transformed again, shaped by God. In this series, we are seeking to refresh our commitment to our core vision and purpose as a community of faith. As Leanne prayed about, to the good news of the gospel in Jesus that we have to share with the world, as Mark spoke about in week one, to be people who are committed to being sent, to participating with God's grand plan, as Jodine shared with us last week. And today, to transforming lives that in turn transform the lives of other people. To see lives changed by Jesus, because that is our vision here at GBC. So now we come to asking the question that we regularly ask as a community of faith. And that is, what is our invitation out of this story, out of Peter's life that we've had a little glimpse of this morning? What is God inviting us to do? And I wonder if it starts with a question for us. And that is, have we stepped out of the upper room? Have we stepped out of the place of transformation? Have we stepped out of being close to Jesus? Have we stepped away from him, back into an old life? Perhaps you are yet to make a commitment to being in that place. Questions and doubts may grip us, perhaps even a sense that we've in some way failed Jesus already. Jodine spoke really helpfully last week of roadblocks that disqualify us from participating in this life that God is inviting us into, into God's mission. But even before that, what might be stopping you from stepping into a life of being transformed? Is it pride? Is it guilt? Is it shame? Is it a sense of unworthiness? Perhaps you're not even sure you want to be transformed. To all of us, Jesus says, come and follow me. Come and be a part of my plan to renew and restore the whole world. Come and have your life continually transformed by me so that all might be inspired into this life of transformation and that they might choose to come and follow Jesus as well. So how will we respond? How do we connect or reconnect with a life transformed by Jesus? Well, for many of us, we already know the answer. It's not rocket science. Jesus invites us to come and follow him. And that is what we are invited to do, as Peter did. We are invited, as Peter was, to learn life from Jesus. And that means giving our whole life to following Jesus. And whilst Jesus as a man is no longer here with us on earth, his Holy Spirit is with us. And the shape and form of his invitation to follow is here with us. See, the Bible is here to shape our life. It's not here just to fill our heads with knowledge. We need the full-bodied faith of a three-legged stool that Mark spoke about in week one, where our heads are engaged and our hearts are engaged and our hands are engaged. And we are given a way to speak with Jesus as well. It's called prayer, and it works two ways. We have an opportunity to speak with him and to hear from him. And in short, this is our response to the invitation into a life following Jesus that is continually being transformed. If you want more of that, this is what we are invited to do. But if that still leaves you feeling dry and you can't quite believe that another sermon has finished with the application, read your Bible and pray, then perhaps you need to take steps like Peter did. Perhaps you need to take bigger strides. There have been times in my life where it's felt like my faith has got stale. And in hindsight, my response has been to take slightly bigger strides by the grace of God. One time, I found myself in this place of just desiring more of God. And God responded by giving me an almost supernatural sense of what he wanted me to pray for other people. He answered that. And my life was transformed a bit more in that moment. But at other times, I've taken a bigger stride by engaging with face-to-face invitations to church to strangers in a park, or taking time to pray and ask God, where do you geographically want me to go and pray for specific things? And actually going and doing that. And even more occasionally, to pray for people on public transport. And as of last week, off the back of a staff devotion that we engaged in together, I am recommitting to praying for the sick and seeing what God will do in that space. But these are the bigger strides that God has invited me into. And your faith doesn't have to look like mine. In fact, it would be quite dull if it did. Your faith doesn't even have to look like Peter's. But your life is one in which God is desiring continual transformation. So we want to take time to ask God, where might he be inviting us to take bigger strides? And we find out what these are by asking God, by taking time to pray and listening to his response. And that may just be this thought that comes into your mind and you go, oh, that's strange. Or you might be reminded of a passage of scripture, or you might have a picture of someone's face that you know and you think, oh, I've got to talk to them. And you have a conversation with them and you go, oh, right, I get what God is inviting me into. Because God uses a whole bunch of ways to speak to us in a language that we understand, and he invites us into the transformed life. And so we're going to take a moment to pray and to reflect on the lyrics of a song that will appear on the screen behind me as we listen to where God might be inviting us to take bigger strides this morning. This song invites us to open up our lives to a place of transformation, nearness to God, to put ourselves in the upper room. So would you pray, listen to this song, engage with the lyrics, and I'll be back to close after this. So Father God, that is our prayer, that you would make our lives your upper room. Lord, the place of transformation, Lord, a place where we commit to praying daily, Lord, what strides might you be inviting us to take today? When we step into practices that help renew our commitment to following Jesus, and we commit to this life of transformation, Lord, that we might become an invitation to others to follow you and to know this glorious life that we are invited into, Father, is a mystery and a wonder and a privilege to be a part of your plan to renew and restore the world. Well, thank you that you invite us to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you commit or recommit to having your life transformed by Jesus? Do you need to take bigger strides towards that, to become transforming lives that in turn transform the lives of others that are close to you? Because lives are at stake. May this be our prayer this week. What are the biggest strides that God is inviting you to take? And once you've prayed that for yourself, would you pray that for our community of faith, for others that might come to mind as you pray?
Our lives changed by Jesus. This is one of our core commitments and one that has an impact on those around us. Are you remaining close to Jesus in the upper room? Whether you answered yes or no to that question, or whatever community of faith you are a part of, why not pray that God might show you the stretching step that you might be called to take? Is there someone you know who needs to hear this message too? If so, why not share it with them and see what God does through that? As always, we'd love to hear from you as you hear and respond to the invitation of God. You can find us on Facebook or visit our website at guymeabaptist.org.au. God bless.